Well, it is a privilege for us to introduce to you this morning Steve Brewer, the founder CEO of Tapestries of Life Ministries in Guadalupe, Mexico. He's been there for, he couldn't remember if it was 35 or 40 years. He's been there so long. It's a great ministry, and we're thrilled to have him bring the Word of God to us. If you recall, this is a ministry that Mark and Mary Larson have long been involved with, and we're looking forward to a trip, taking a team of adults, families, students, anybody who is willing in January to go support and work alongside Pastor Steve in the ministry there. So would you give him a warm Faithbridge welcome as he comes and brings the Word of God this morning?
It's a privilege to be here this morning. God bless you. Thank you. My name is Stephen. I'm just a servant of the Most High God. And I want to share some things with you this morning that I'm hoping that will help you walk through life. I'm going to be sharing on two services today. So the second service is an entirely different message. So if you'd like to hear more, please come to the second service as well. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you and I praise you that you are the God who is more than enough. That if we didn't have it, you would make it for us. You are the great creator. So this morning I ask, Father, that my family here in Park Rapids, Minnesota would hear a voice within a voice. That they would hear the voice of the great shepherd speaking through this silly vessel called Stephen. And I thank you and praise you in advance by faith for what you're going to do this morning with your word. Let your word go forth today with power, changing us, molding us into the image of your Son, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. The land of 10,000 lakes. I hope that you do not take it for granted. I was on the lake yesterday. I don't remember the name of it. I think it was lake number 8,203. I'm not sure. I live in the Chihuahua Desert, and it truly is a desert. We have no trees, except for trees that we plant. We have lots of cactus, lots of gravel, lots of sand, not too much green. It is truly a desert. And in the desert, we have no water, because it is a desert. And so when I come here, it's like a banquet for my eyes, and it's a banquet for my heart. Because here, in Park Rapids, Minnesota, is where the ministry began. My very first group came from Park Rapids, Minnesota. It was a couple named Laura and Arlie Lund. I don't know if you know the Lunds or not, but I do. And I will be eternally grateful for their sacrifice and for their family's sacrifice. Because what they did when they came, they were a retired couple. And when they came, they said, please give me a job that's not time sensitive. And I said, okay, well, I need a water line dug 2,000 feet, 2 feet underground in caliche, which is like a white clay or concrete. And so we had nothing built on the property, nothing whatsoever. And they came out and spent, I think, 3 or 4 months digging a trench 2,000 feet long. Laid the pipe, hooked up the pump at both ends. Turned it on, and we had water for the very first time. They're gone now. Someone told me a long time ago, is it okay to just to be family today? Somebody told me a long time ago, if you really believe in heaven, family, do you really believe in heaven? that your eye is not seen, your ear is not heard, the things that God has in store for you. If you really believe in heaven, then why would we mourn when our family and loved ones go there? Amen? Amen. And because of their sacrifice, we have been able to build the biggest orphanage in the history of the country of Mexico. The building is bigger than a football field, two stories high, huge. It's in the shape of a cross, a gigantic cross out in the middle of the wilderness. Can I ask you, family, before I get into the word here, I want to ask you a question. Are you ever fearful? Come on, let's get real. There are times in my life where I am fearful. And I know God's word says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. But there are times, even as a pastor, that I'm fearful. Fearful that things aren't working out. Fearful that I might have missed God's plan. Fearful that what I'm doing is pizza at 2 o'clock in the morning. I've been fearful. Times I've been fearful. And when I'm fearful, I turn to the Word of God. And so this morning I want to share with you the miracle of water in the desert. Because, see, we don't have water. The only water we had was a line from the city to our property. And the city elders said, as soon as you have children in your facility, you can no longer have our water. We will allow you to use that water to build with for construction purposes only. And as soon as the kids come home, our town cannot consume you as well, so we're going to cut your line. And if you don't have your own water source, you cannot ever have anyone live on that property. And so I get a little fearful about that. And so I begin to pray and say, Father, help me. Okay, if you have your Bible, turn it this morning to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 41. I prayed for water. In Mexico, the government owns everything. They own all the minerals in the ground, the gold, the silver, the oil, the gas, water. And it's not like here in the United States where if you want have a piece of property and you want water, you call a well driller up, they come out. Well, here you get a shovel and you got water. Out there we have well drillers, but you have to have permission from the government to have a well on your property. And then the government comes out and drills the well. Well, for 6 years, I prayed for water. 6 years. And I was starting to get a little bit fearful because we're building with the water that we have. We're building and we're building and we're building. And there's no water. Engineers came out and said, to sustain life on this property, you're going to need about 30,000 gallons of water a day. I'm like, oh my God, we have no water. But we continue by faith, continue building, and then I get a little bit fearful. When I get fearful, I turn to the Word, and on this one day, I turned to the book of Isaiah, and I was fretting and talking to the Lord about water, and I came across these verses. And in my devotion time, I was reading the book of Isaiah, 41st chapter, and I was reading. I read normally the whole chapters when I'm having my devotion, and I got down to the verse 6, and it said, everyone helped his neighbor and said to his brother, be of good courage. And I stopped for a moment. I said, that's kind of like tapestries of life. We have people coming from 17 different countries, every state in the United States, Canada, people coming. They're our neighbors. And they're coming to help us. They're coming to help rescue the children of Mexico. Everyone helped his neighbor and said to his brother, be of good courage. So I'm still reading, I'm still fretting, having a hard time with this water issue. And then I got down here to verse 8, and he said, but you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, who I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. When I read the Word of God, it's as if God is talking directly to me. It's just that personal to me. And I began reading this here, and God's saying, a theme starts coming up. You're my servant. You're my friend. I love you. I support you. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Next verse here says, Hume, who I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from the farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you. I have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So now I'm starting to get a little bit of encouragement. Family, please, please hear my heart, okay? What am I fearful of? I'm fearful that we've invested $1 million on this property, and I'm worried and concerned that when we finally get the project completed and the children come home and we turn on the faucet and no water comes out. We try to flush a toilet or a commode and no water comes out. So then I'm starting to think, okay, maybe the church is going to do an old tradition that they haven't done in centuries. It's called tar and feathering. Okay. And I'm pretty concerned about it, spending years and years and years and thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. We're up to $1 million and don't have any promise of any kind of water. And we're still building and going forward. And so I'm fearful. So God sends me to these verses, says, fear not, I'm with you. You're my servant. I'm your friend. How many of you would like to hear God say to you, you know what? You're my friend. I like hanging out with you. Guess what? He just did. Amen? So as I'm continuing to read and fret, I get down here a little farther. Those that contend with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing. How many of you know when you're going to do something big for God by faith that you're going to get a lot of people come against you? Oh, you're not from the right church. Oh, you're not from the right family. Oh, you don't have the resources. Oh, you're out here doing your own thing. And as I continued reading, I got down here. Those at war against you will be as nothing. Verse 13, for I, the Lord, your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not. And then I continued reading, got down here to verse 17. And then God really blew up my heart. It said, when the poor and the needy seek after water, and there is none, and their tongues fail for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Where I live is a third world country. Everybody is poor. As a matter of fact, if you're living on welfare here in the United States, you're living like a king compared to the people that I minister to. When the poor and the needy seek after water and there is none, and their tongue fails for thirst, I, the Lord their God, I will hear them. If you ever walk through the desert for any amount of time, your tongue fails for thirst. You get pretty darn thirsty. Water's important in the desert. And he says, I will open up rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water. Now, God, you're getting my attention because I live in the wilderness. There's no trees. There's only sand and dirt and gravel. In the dry land, springs of water, and I will plant in the wilderness a cedar and the acacia tree and the myrtle tree and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the cypress and the pine and the box tree together. Why, Lord? Why are you going to do all these things? What is he saying to us? He says, you are my servant, I am your friend, and I'm going to do these things for you. And I stop and say, why? And I get the very next verse. Verse 20 says that they, do I have any theys here today? That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this thing, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. So now what he's showing me here, he's saying, Stephen, you have no reason to fear. I'm with you. Don't worry. I know you don't see any way to get around this, but I am here. I am with you. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to open up rivers in high places. If you come to me, you're going to see I'm in a valley surrounded by mountains in the wilderness. And God says, I'm going to do all these things. And then the very next verse, he says, he expects something from me. Very next verse, he says, present your cause, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, says the King of Jacob. And so I stopped and I paused. And I said, Father, The engineers have said we're going to need 30 to 35,000 gallons of water a day. We have no water. We're going to need to brush our teeth. And the kids are going to need to use the bathroom. And the kids are going to need to take showers. And I would love to have an oasis in the midst of the desert that's so green that when people come, they'd go, there's some of God's people. And we need to prepare food and do all these things that we need to do on this property with water. We need 30 to 50,000 gallons of water a day. Thank you, Father. Thank you for providing that water. God's saying, I'm going to do this. Now tell me why I should do this for you. And so I produce my cause. But how many of you know that you have to put feet to your prayers? So I went to the government and I said, I would like to have a well on our property. We're building this gigantic orphanage and we need some help. And the people, the water commissioner, 5 hours away that I had to go to talk with, said to me, mañana, señor. Do you know what mañana means? Yeah, to the American, it means tomorrow. To the Mexicans, it means not today. And my not today went on for 6 years. A couple of times a year, I would travel 5 hours to Chihuahua, Mexico, to the capital, go into the office and say, hey, remember me? I'm the guy who needs some water. I need permission for you to come. Please come. Please drill a well for us. We need water. Mañana, señor, mañana. In that 6 years, I would put out a newsletter, and every now and then I would say, hey, if you're thinking about it, we need some water, so I'd like you to give to the water fund. And in 6 years, I was able to put into the bank, in the water fund, $20,000. Took me 6 years to raise $20,000 for the water fund. And I was grateful. Thank you, Father. 6 years go by. All of a sudden, I've got a group, and I pull onto the property with this brand new group, and there's men walking around with clipboards, and there's a giant well drilling machine. And in perfect Steve fashion, I jump out of my truck, and I go over there, say, hey, who are you people? What are you doing here? You can't just come on this property. And they said, oh, we're from Chihuahua, and you've been asking us for years to drill a well on your property. We're drilling a well in the next town down, so we decided we'll do one here for you as well. Oh, time out. No. You're not going to do any illegal well. You're not going to do me as a side job. And the government will come in after I've got children and close us down because I have an illegal well. I have to have permits. This has got to be 100% legal. I'm not allowing the enemy to come in here, not even one toe in the door of this ministry. And they said to me, oh, no, señor. No, here, we have a contract right here. Here's a contract. Sign the contract and we'll start the well. Let me paraphrase it for you. Okay, it's all in Spanish. So I don't have to worry about the fine print because I'm having a hard time reading the big print. Okay, but I'll paraphrase it for you. We're going to drill a maximum of 1,000 feet. We're not going to go a foot deeper than 1,000 feet. Before we even start our machine, you're going to pay us $20,000. Down payment. How did they know I had $20,000? And in 30 days, when we complete this, it'll take us 30 days to go 1,000 feet. At the end of the 30 days, you'll pay us another $30,000 or you're going to jail. And you will sit in jail until every dollar is paid. Sign the contract. I'm like, ha, ha, ha. A little bit nervous. Because everything inside me says, it took you 6 years to raise $20,000. There's no way you're going to raise $30,000 in 30 days. Not going to happen. But you know what? I've got a board of directors that protect me and help me and love me. So I'm going to take this contract before I sign it, and I'm going to go discuss it with them. I jump in my truck and I start driving back toward the United States. And I got about halfway back and I started to laugh. And it wasn't a happy laugh, it was a nervous laugh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. It would have been nice if you would have clued me in and let me know that you've changed your mind, that you've now taken me from orphan ministry to prison ministry. Because if I sign this contract, I'm going to prison. So I go and I talk to my board and I call them all on the phone, speaking with them, and they said, sign the contract, Steve. Sign the contract. Sign the contract. Believe God. Look at all the miracle things that God has done with your life. Believe God. Sign the contract. Don't be afraid, Steve. Sign the contract. And I'm like, hey, are you guys trying to take over the ministry? Because if I sign the contract, I'm going to prison. Sign the contract, Steve. So I hung up the phone from the last board member. You know what? I've got staff that love me that are here every day. Those board members, they're out of touch. They're not here every day. So I'll talk to my staff. So I talked to my staff, and they said, Steve, Pastor, sign the contract. Sign it. Go ahead and sign it. You're always stretching us to go deeper in the things of God. Now it's your turn. Sign the contract. I had one of them said, don't worry, Pastor. When you go to jail, I'll come and visit. I'll bring you brownies. So, thank you. Thank you. I wish I could tell you this morning, as a man of God, with great faith, I took pen in hand and signed the contract. But I cannot, because that's not who I am. I took the pen. First thing that kind of happened to me is wisdom is established through godly counsel. And I had asked for godly counsel. Next thing that came into my heart was Jacob was a righteous man. He did nothing wrong. And he went to prison for 7 years. And when he got out, God used him to save a nation of people from starving to death. God, I remember a story that said, Jesus said, your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. I remembered a verse that said, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Sign the contract. He whispers to me, fear not. You're my servant. I'm your friend. Trust me. Sign the contract. So I took pen in hand and, oh God. See, this is real. This is real. I'm going to prison. Do you know how long a long-haired white boy is going to last in a Mexican prison? I signed the contract. Took the $20,000 out, gave it to them, and they said, where do you want your drill? Where do you want us to drill your well? And for years, people would come out from Michigan, New York, Canada, Minnesota, different places, and I would tell every group that comes, walk the wall and talk to God and yuck out your problems. Spend time with Him alone. Because we're busy people. Many people don't spend time with God. He's brought you to me to get you out of your distractions, to get you away from your routines and your rituals, to get alone with Him so He can speak to you. And in those 6 years, every now and then, not all the time, maybe 5, 6, 7 times, people would come to me and they'd say, Pastor, I went for that walk, like you said, around your property. It's about a mile long. And I got to that corner over there, and I heard water running. Do you have a broken pipe over there? And I say, no, honey, you've been in the sun too long. Here, get some Kool-Aid, go sit in the shade, go over there. And then someone else would come from Canada, and they would say, you know, I was walking the wall, and this doesn't mean anything to me, but when I turn that corner down there, the Lord said to me, water in the desert. 6 or 7 people saying the exact same thing. And so when it was time to choose the spot on the property, I went to that corner. Because see, the ministry is not about me. It's about us. It's about the body of Christ. I went to that corner, and you want to see what I did? You ready? Father, you said, when the poor and needy seek after water and there is none, and their tongue fails for thirst, you would hear them, and you would open up rivers in high places and rivers in the midst of the wilderness. You said, produce your cause. Father, I'm producing my cause again. Thank you, Father, for producing water in this spot in Jesus' name. We need to brush our teeth and flush the toilets and take showers and wash dishes, prepare food, turn this place into an oasis in the midst of the desert. Then when people come, they will say, there goes some of God's people. God's people live there. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And I could hear the well drillers behind me going, oh, man, that guy needs to get some Kool-Aid. Get him out of here. And so they started drilling. I have no way of paying them. No way. And they started drilling. And every day I talked to them, I would ask them, how deep are you today? 100 feet. Now, the only knowledge that we had was that there might be an aquifer about 300 feet under our property. They did a study of the area. So that's why we spent $1 million building, because there's an aquifer under there, 300 feet. So we start drilling. How deep are you today? 100 feet? No water? Oh, that's okay. How deep are we today? 200 feet? No water? That's okay. It's all right. We're getting there. How deep are we today? 300 feet? No water? Okay, we're going to hit it any time now at 300, 400 feet. 400 feet today, no water? That's okay. How deep are we today? 500 feet? 500 feet? No water? Oh, man, we have blown right past the aquifer that was supposed to be there, and there's no water. How deep are we today? 600 feet? Oh, God, no water? You want to hear my prayer life? You ready? Father, break the machine. Because they're getting close to 1,000 feet, and there's no water. And when they get to 1,000 feet, I'm going to prison. Father, break the machine. Family, as God is my witness, the very next day, a steel fitting on a hydraulic hose busted. Started shooting hydraulic oil everywhere. And the well drillers are going, what? What? That's never happened to our machine. What? I was so convicted over my prayer. I went, give me the hose. They took it apart and I took it to the United States, the hydraulic hose fix-it place. Showed them what I had, and they, oh yeah, we got those parts, took them off the wall, made me a brand new hose. Cost me $100 to pray that prayer. I remember driving back to Mexico going, oh gosh, $100, Lord. And it was like the Lord was saying, that's not a prayer of faith. We don't pray to break things. We don't pray to blow things up. So I took it. What that prayer got me was $100 less in my pocket and a one-day delay. They took it, put it back together, and started drilling. 600 feet, no water. You know what? We're going to hit 700 feet. So that's the magic number. God likes the number 7. I was on the 700 club. Oh, we got it. 700 feet, yes. How deep? 700 feet? No water? Oh, gosh, no water. 800 feet, no water. 900 feet, boom, they hit the water at 900 feet. I'm like, really, Lord, really? You could have done that at 100 feet. 900 feet, they hit the water. It was almost like an explosion underwater. The water came shooting up the pipe that they had done. They pulled out their equipment, put in the pipes and all the stuff that they do. They hooked on a gigantic diesel pump that pumped off 235 gallons of water a minute. Turned it on. Just before they turned it on, the water from 900 feet underground came within 50 feet of the surface. They turned on that pump that pumped off 235 gallons of water a minute for 72 hours. It drew down 50 feet more and stayed there. When you pump 235 gallons of water a minute for 72 hours, you have over a million gallons of water on your property. We had so much water on our property that we had to build and dig like trenches to run the water off the property out into the desert because it was flooding our property. Wait a minute. What was this? When the poor and the needy seek after water and there is none, and their tongues fail for thirst, I, the Lord, their God, will hear them. I will open up rivers in high places. When they stopped 72 hours later and shut it off, it regained that 50 feet in probably within less than a minute. The well driller said, at the rate of 30 to 50,000 gallons of water a day that you need to sustain life on this property, you have more water in this hole than you will use in several lifetimes. Do you think that's something I want to hear? Because I'm not going to be there forever. And I want to know that the sacrifice of our lives, after we're gone, they're going to continue rescuing and ministering and loving children to Christ. Amen? They then tested the water. Everyone around us, the city wells, all have, they call it brackish water, salty water, yucky kind of, and they have to do a lot of filtering. Ours was, when they tested it, was 95% pure spring water. God, you're so good. Oh, the end of the story. I didn't go to jail. You ready? Without me having time to share in a newsletter, help, I'm going to jail. Just praying to the Father, walking in faith, trusting Him, trusting His Word. People started sending me letters in the mail. And they weren't just letters. Many of them had stuff in the memos of their checks that said, well fund. Water, 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 $50, $100, $1,000, $5,000, $50, $50, $50, $50, $100, $100, $100, $100, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, $20, around America that were saying, I was praying for you today. And God said, send you a check for water. And in that 31 days, when we totaled it up, I had exactly $30,000. I didn't have 28.9. I didn't have 35.4. I had exactly what I needed. Family, what do you need? Really? What do you need? Did he not say to us, I will meet all of your needs according to my riches and glory found in Christ Jesus? Hey, you either believe that or you don't. I choose to believe the Word of God. I've based my life on it. I've worked in Mexico between 35 and 40 years. I don't know. I'm having a senior moment. I don't remember. In all that time, God has not forsaken me. Today, we're open and we have children. Because a family in Park Rapids stepped out of their comfort zone and said, I want to go help. And I will be eternally grateful to this town. Why? Because when we received our children, these are children that have been sex trafficked, children that have been used and abused and broken. They're all broken. The very first Sunday with me, every one of the children gave their lives to Christ. From 6 years old to 17 years old. Broken kids that said, we want what you have. And I want to share what I have with them. You know, they have some of these weird names like Dulce and Surema, Mari Luisa. You know, I'm looking for Mary and Jane and Janet. And so I tell them all, until I learn your names, you're going to be the princesses of God and the principes of God, the princes and princesses of God. And so when I see them, I say, hey, princessa, venga, ja. Come here, princess, come here. Hey, principe, prince, stop it. Because they're kids. They've accepted Christ, but now we're discipling them in hopes that the old things will pass away in their life and all things will become brand new. So my question to you, family, is what are you praying for? And I know we as Americans have this kind of a mindset. Father, I'm going to pray about this thing that I need for my family, and I'm going to take it over here, and I'm going to put it in the microwave, and I'm going to set it for 2 minutes. Ding, dee, 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 dee. Hallelujah. Ooh, God, you're so good. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Bing. Oh, my prayer's ready. Oh, God, you didn't answer my prayer. Oh. 6 years. 6 years. Family, find something in the Word that matches your situation and stand on it and believe for it. Because did he not say to us, I am not like a man that I would lie to you, that all of my promises are yea and amen. Yay. Ready, family? You are my servant. I have chosen you. You are my friend. Ready? Ready? When the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue fails for thirst, I, the Lord, their God, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open up rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness, I live in a wilderness, a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree and the myrtle and the oil tree. I don't even know what those are. But I'm going to find them and we're going to plant them on our property. I will set in the desert the cypress and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider together that the hand of the Lord has done this thing, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. And I'll close with this. I don't know how long I've been speaking. I don't know when my time is up. I think this has been the shortest message I've ever spoke in my life. But I want to end with this. We're His. And we're His servants. You choose to be obedient or not obedient. You choose to walk with Him or not walk with Him. You choose to trust Him or not trust Him. I chose a long time ago, I trust you, God. My first year, He gave me 2 children. My second year, He gave me 25. My third and following years, He gave me 88. I had people like yourselves from the different churches and different communities, when they hear that, they go to me and they say, Pastor, what do you need? How can I help you? And I always tell them the same thing. I need what any father needs who has 88 children. 88 pair of tennis shoes, 88 pair of blue jeans, 88 blouses. And well, not all the boys are wearing blouses, but. And then God said, build this facility for me for 200 plus children. Trust me. You're my friend. And out of a pocket of a guy who has $10, God invested over $7 million on that property. It's absolutely a beautiful, beautiful facility where children are broken and come there and go, oh, I get to live here? This is my home? The wow factor. First thing people see when they come in the door at the main entrance, it says, solamente por la gloria de Dios. This is only for the glory of God. And I get the privilege of telling them about a place called Park Rapids, who started it all, who made it a reality. And today we have the biggest orphanage in the history of the country of Mexico. I ask God questions all the time. He'll ask me to do something for him, and I'll say, why, God? And then one day God asked me a question. I had been touring different orphanages and looking at the abuse and the poverty and the way the children were being cared for. And I said, why, God? Why? And he said to me, why? Why are they there? And I thought for a moment, I said, well, they don't have an alternative. And God said, build them an alternative. Yes, Father, but I have $10. You're talking about a multi-million dollar building project. You're my friend. I'll take care of it. You just walk with me. And today it's a reality. Thank you, Park Rapids, Minnesota. Don't take your lakes for granted. Your beauty, your animals, I mean, everything that you have here. In Mexico, I never see any deer or bear or elk or raccoons or possums. When I first went there, I said, God, I think the people have eaten all the animals. There's no animals here. Family, find a promise. Stand on it. Whatever your situation is, financially, physically, spiritually, socially, emotionally, whatever the problem is that you're having, find a promise and stand on it and watch what he does. Amen? Amen. Thank you.